meeting of the planning commission to order. We get a roll call, please.
Steele.
Here.
Cable, absent. Smith.
Here.
Miz.
Here.
Sherwood.
Here.
Merkin.
Here.
McBride.
Here.
Are there any changes or additions to tonight's agenda? Hearing none, the agenda will stand approved. Are there any changes or additions to the minutes from the 7th of March?
I do believe that Supervisor Olson was here for part of the meeting, and she wasn't listed as an other attending. That was not in the notice.
She must have signed in.
Okay. Got it.
She was here, so I'm going to make that change. Let's do a quick, any other changes or additions? Let's just do a quick voice vote to approve the minutes as with a modification. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. The minutes stand approved. All right, we have a time on at every meeting to hear comments from the public. These are general comments on issues, on topics not already scheduled to be heard tonight at the meeting. Is there anyone in the audience who'd like to address the Planning Commission? Okay, thank you. Then we're on to the Ames Urban Fringe Plan Review of the North Plan Area. Jerry.
Okay. Before I do that, I wanted to let the Planning and Zoning Commission know that I'm going to be attending a meeting at the City of Ames. The Planning and Zoning Commission will work in Ames Urban Fringe Plan Map Amendment, and I need to attend that. And then also, I want to give you an update that last week we did receive a subpoena on a Board of Adjustment action involving the McKay property south of Highway 30 South Ames for the Brad Perkins Bed and Breakfast event venue. So we'll keep you up to date as that transpires.
He's leaving early for the Planning and Zoning Commission meeting.
You have just taken off.
For the Planning and Zoning Commission meeting.
All right.
For the Ames Urban Fringe Plan.
You told us you'd be attending that meeting. You did not.
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay.
All right. Little detail.
So Jerry, the subpoena meaning that the Board of Adjustment decision on that property was challenged
by adjacent property.
What was the Board of Adjustment decision?
Recommendation of approval. And again, it was the bed and breakfast.
Mm-hmm. And previous action on that had been challenged as well.
Correct.
And it's still going?
YSS.
Okay.
And that court date is in May. So the first item is Ames Urban Fringe Plan review. This was an internal review. The item was a part of the Planning and Development Department's work program. Each year we sit down with the Planning and Zoning Commission at the end of the year and also with the Board of Supervisors and come up with projects of interest outside of our normal daily activities. And to take a look at the area north of Ames, south of Gilbert, with regard to the land use and many different layers, which I'll go through. And so we've done that. We've also sat down, communicated with Ames Planning and Housing staff, as well as staff from the City of Gilbert. But what prompted the interest is, the construction of the high school in Gilbert, traffic along Hyde, as in addition to the paving that has occurred recently. We receive a lot of requests for improvements, for accessory buildings, new single-family home permits. And in 2017, half of those permits were in this area between Gilbert and Ames. And then, too, also the Ames Sanitary Sewer study prompted the interest. So, again, this is primarily just a focus on land use. We try to come up with what we consider areas of opportunity. None of this happens unless you have willing property owners, market conditions are right. And, of course, it has to be in line and in sync with the plans for the city of Gilbert and the city of Ames. City of Ames is going through a process where they're going to be updating their comprehensive plan. They're planning to hire a consultant sometime this summer and then begin work on it after that. The city of Gilbert did go through a recent update. The update came after we did our review. There was a lot of really good information in that comprehensive plan update, primarily in terms of growth and land use. They're planning on about a 3% growth. They want to grow, you know, internally. They think they have enough land use primarily for residential development. Over, I think they are looking at a proposed annexation south of their current corporate limits for residential development. But they do provide a statement in the update of, you know, focus of continuation of the current land use between 190th Street and 180th, which is primarily predominantly agricultural land use. So that's something that they support, that continuation of that land use. City of Ames staff has indicated to us that, you know, they didn't really have a formal position on the information that's provided in this memo. You know, they're reserving their right to hire their consultant and take a look at it and go through their comprehensive planning process. So some of the things that we looked at are the natural resources. We looked at existing comprehensive plans for the city of Ames and Gilbert. We looked at the Ames Mobility 2040 document, utility maps, the land use aerials from 2017, again, permit activity, zoning permits, subdivision activity. We communicated with the school districts of Ames and Gilbert. Also reviewed the, actually, the memos from the city staff on their sewer study. Looked at Syride's plans. And again, we had a sit-down session in February to kind of go over it. But, you know, we looked at the transportation. For the most part, there's really no major transportation, you know, no new roads planned in this north area. There's quite a few overlay projects planned. We did close the county, closed a bridge on 190th. The bridge to the east was reconstructed. We've got an asphalt overlay project west of 190th on George Washington Carver. It's a 510th plan for this year. If you look at the mobility plan, they've got quite a few projects, but they're primarily overlay projects, including Dayton, 500th Avenue from West Lincoln Way to Mortensen Road. Again, there's quite a few Xenia Rural Water lines in this north area. However, areas along Hyde, north of the city of Ames, south of 180th, are not served with Xenia at this time. It's also in the Iowa Regional Utility Association area for utilities. Much of the zoning, if you look at this map, everything that you see that shows up as an aerial is A1 agricultural district. Land use, though, along the, you know, northeast, along the Skunk River area, you'll see some pockets of yellow, which is the R1 single family residential. There's a green belt conservation district as well. To the west, along Squaw Creek, you see some pockets of R1 residential. AR, which is the brown, you'll see pockets of brown. And again, you know, most of the rural developments that are in this area are along the proximity of those two water bodies, the Skunk River and Squaw Creek. So, you know, going back to the actual land use, this is the current map that was approved. Much of this area is designated agricultural and farm service, which really limits the use to farming, livestock production. Housing is permitted if it meets the county's zoning requirements. Much of this area between 190th and 180th, you see a crosshatch. This is where there was supposed to be a special study that never transpired. There was supposed to be a specific study for just this area. So I think, you know, part of what we've done with our review of this area would help toward that end, but it was not a complete study.
That study is supposed to be a joint jurisdiction study, not just Story County.
Yep, between Ames and Gilbert. The little pocket of brown is urban residential. Those are areas that can be annexed and developed under city standards. In this case, this would be could be potentially annexed into the city of Gilbert. Yellow is the rural transitional residential. Those all three jurisdictions review like subdivision plats, but in the policies you'll find out that the county typically takes a secondary role. We're not the primary regulator when it comes to reviewing subdivision plats, and that was the case for the Irons, which is in this area here. Part of that was zoned R2, which allowed the two-family homes, and then to the east of it, you see this little pocket of green. That's where the golf course is. So we show this. This is actually from the C2C plan, Cornerstone to Capstone plan. On that plan, you know, we did go out and talk to the cities that are experiencing growth. There's a pocket of blue, which is urban growth boundary, south and east. This is where we were told from the city officials that they were experiencing growth. There isn't a specific designation in those areas. It could be residential, commercial, industrial. But the point is, if we receive an application in these areas, then typically the applicant is to go to the city to communicate and to learn about whether or not an annexation is going to be required, whether or not the city standards would be required, and so forth. So part of what our review would include would be to make a suggestion that, you know, a portion of the north area from the north limits of the city of Ames also have an urban growth area. So when we do get a request in, they'll know that they would go to Ames first to communicate whether or not the area is in within plans to annex and develop under city standards. Got aerials of the area in case of specific questions, and then following up in the back. So primarily, again, I mentioned the activity. We had 52 zoning permits. Half of those were in this north area for single-family home construction. Taken from this Ames Mobility 2040 plan, the urban population projection, currently 63,000. That was 2010. Projecting over 85,000, so they view that they need, or this would accommodate over 32,000 households. That's at about 2.6 persons per household. But again, most of their growth that they're proposing is primarily inside the corporate limits of the city of Ames. I did take into account some growth areas south of Gilbert and then northwest, primarily like where Cameron Estates is. So in terms of, you know, what our view is, again, these are viewed as opportunities. We see these pockets that are primarily along the river and the creek. We've got existing developments that could continue. There's areas adjacent to those existing subdivisions that could be built on. Definitely supporting the urban residential areas that are set out in the Ames Urban Fringe Plan. Throwing out a suggestion that the north area, eighth of a mile, whatever that is, quarter of a mile north of the corporate limits of Ames, could also have an urban growth boundary. And then, two, in much of the area, unincorporated area of the county, if there's an existing dwelling, you're able to do often what is referred to as a residential parcel subdivision, which is a limited, oftentimes split once into two to allow another lot for another single-family home. So we're asking or throwing that out as a suggestion too. We've got a couple of them that are on 180th Street west of Highway 69. And I think there's actually one east of Highway 69. And then, of course, we've got this map that's before you. There's about 17 or 18 areas. These are, again, possible opportunities that could exist out there. Again, it's some of these would require rezoning, some map amendments, and in accordance with the Angel River Fringe Plan, to change anything in the policies of the map requires all three entities to support it. So, it's not something that the county could do on their own. But then there's a few areas that are outside of the Ames River Fringe Plan boundary. There's a current commercial node on 170th right here that could potentially be expanded. Most of that is, again, outside the limits. We get requests frequently to do things, commercial activities at the intersection of Interstate I-35 and 190th. But again, to make changes, it would involve the other two entities as well as Story County. So,
can I just add one thing to your list of suggestions when you're looking at this map and area? Is just the naming of Hyde / Grant / 530th / Breton.
The street with five names.
Yeah. Yeah. Like within a 3-mile stretch, it has
multiple names.
Many names.
It's easy to navigate.
So, and I get it, but I'm just thinking as we grow that area, if we're looking at growing that area, you're going to have people on the same street with all these different addresses and. Let's try and address that now before there's more something there.
It's pretty common once the city enters into an incorporated area for that name to change.
I get it. I don't get the Hyde / Grant part, right?
Well,
so it's Hyde within the development, and then once you leave the development, it's Grant behind 88, and then once you cross 180th, it turns into 530th. Until you get up to Gilbert, and then it turns back into Breton, and then, on the list of things to look at.
Right. There was a part that was really, it's kind of engulfed by Ames that was changed by the county from Grant to Hyde 20 years ago.
Yeah, I would be happy to see a kind of a revised, agreed to plan for what's happening in that area. Otherwise, we're going to keep getting piecemeal flat camera states and the islands and things like that. Mm-hmm. We have to reinvent the wheel and decide every time.
Once you make that final kind of decision, does it have to go through layers of things?
On land use designation?
Oh, what are you talking about? All these the same place has of all different addresses and names.
The street naming. Yeah.
Well, we do have a unified. I don't. Do you want to chime in on addressing?
I just version because they don't like it when I ask these kind of questions. So, who decides that?
We do have a unified 911 addressing system that we work with the various. Entities on, but
I'm sure
White has different names.
Right. Yeah. Just on the list of things to throw out there, while you've got all three entities talking about this, maybe you could come up with something standard.
You have any more questions?
Are you ready for questions, or do you have more presentation to do? What you're asking us to do tonight, or what you're hoping the commission would do, is to support the five recommendations in your report, correct?
Well, including these other opportunities.
The ideas for consideration, you want us to support those too?
Taking into consideration that it's, you're involving landowners, the market, and our other two partners.
Well, one concern I had about the map is it gives you a relative location, but it gives you no idea of how much property you're talking about. And I have a hard time supporting it at that point. I have a hard time supporting an idea that I really don't see the all the detail behind.
Is there a specific? Because I've got some aerials.
Honestly, I'd like to see it all in a map.
Okay.
So that we could see how much territory it involves. I mean, yeah, there's a couple places I was wondering about, but and I asked you in an email and you replied, but others may have questions too.
Are you talking about in terms of parcels, the number of parcels?
Yeah, the number of parcels are just the acreage that goes. I mean, you can see that there is a, for instance, a C in an intersection here just south of Gilbert. So how much, you know, how much land are we talking about? Are you talking about all four sections there, or, you know, what are we talking about? I just have no idea. It was a strip, it was a whole section, what it is that would change.
So maybe some boundaries for these nodes and that sort of thing?
Some of it's parcel specific, some of it could be extended to proposed projects. But, you know, you want something like outlined?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I would feel more comfortable if I saw how much land is being talked about.
And I might just add that I think we can do that, but again, those projects, as like if they come up again, are dependent on whose willing landowners are willing to rezone their property or redesignate. Who's looking to develop their land and who's not. So it's kind of hard to know now.
But it's
a starting point.
It's a concept map.
Yeah, but just because the county designates that this land could be used for this purpose, you don't first go and ask the landowner if they'd be willing to sell it for that purpose.
Well, and we're not actually, you know, we're not taking the charge on all 17 things here and actively working to make the changes. We've done the review. We think these are opportunities to do this thing that could happen if there's support, but there's a lot of variables in making changes to the land use map, like making changes to the zoning district boundaries.
I wonder if we could put a little definition on what exactly this construct is in front of us. So it's not a plan.
It's a review?
Right, yeah. So, and this was done, this is purely from your department, this isn't from the other jurisdiction.
Well, we did work with Ames Planning Housing and staff.
To gather information. Yeah. Would you consider this like Story County's talking points for future discussion about that area and about any amendments to the plan going future?
Definitely.
So like when if we were to just carte blanche say we support all of this and there are statements in here about supporting rezoning of specific areas, those are still going to be discussed by us in more detail on their merits.
Definitely.
As those opportunities arise. So we're not locking ourselves into supporting it in the future just because as a general talking point we like the idea that we discussed that.
Correct.
Does that help?
I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, basically, we're approving how Story County wants to shape the conversation with the other.
As a starting point.
Does this represent Story County well in the discussions about revising the user information?
That's at the Planning Zone Commission, and then the goal is to take this to the Board of Supervisors.
Okay. On those grounds, I'm really comfortable with it, but
do you need a motion?
I think Jerry's asking for an official action here, so we are making a statement about the Planning Commission's opinion on these matters, even though we're not dealing with them in great detail right now. So
we definitely appreciate a motion, and we follow up with trying to define the areas too, getting back to Linda's suggestion about trying to get an idea as to how many areas we're talking about.
So also just logistically, so we approve this, you take this to the Board of Supervisors, and then you go work with Ames and Gilbert on, or you take this to them and say, hey, there's a lot of things happening here, and let's...
They have a copy, both staff and Gilbert and staff at Ames have copies of this. City of Gilbert did recently go through their amendment land use plan process. City of Ames is embarking on that right now. It might take a year and a half, maybe longer, to get through that. So we'll have some things, hopefully, that they can consider.
So when that happens, I mean, it's referred to as the Angel or the Fringe Plan, but how does that, if all three entities have to agree, is that just how it works? Is it a cooperative effort, or is it Ames coming in saying, here's what we're going to do? And
anything that's in this colored area, if we're proposing any changes to the designation, it needs to have support from all three entities.
Okay.
And so those would come to the Planning Zoning Commission at each of the three entities, and then on to the city councils, and then here for their supervisors.
Do you have more questions? Please go ahead.
I didn't. Yep. Under recommendations, the second one, support the annexation and development of urban residential designated areas for both cities. Does that mean the annexation in there? We would be saying this area should be annexed.
Are you talking about number two?
I'm talking about number two.
Yeah, that kind of gets to this. Again, this is from our C2C plan where we have this blue boundary. Those are urban growth areas. And again, we didn't get real specific as far as what the proposed land use was or plan for. But the idea is if we get the development proposals, we are to direct them to the city, in this case the city of Gilbert, to start that communication about whether or not their project will require annexation before they can actually begin their development process, whether it's a commercial site issue or a residential subdivision or whatever it might be. But they're the primary entity for providing input and direction on development in those urban growth areas.
For all the area around Gilbert?
Well, yes, it's the blue area. Like, there's a little area on the south side, there's a little area on the east side.
Okay, so you're not talking about one of the lines, one of the circles around there, you're just talking about the Gilbert city limits.
Well, the city limits are actually...
And a little more.
Yeah, so the boundaries, the urban growth boundaries are actually south of the city limits. So this.
So it goes to 180th?
Yeah, down to 180th on the south.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep. So part of our suggestion is that the city of Ames also have an urban growth boundary similar to what is represented for the city of Gilbert. So when we get requests, the applicants will know that we need to communicate with the city to start their process.
Okay, I may be going further than you're wanting to go right now, but are you suggesting 180th as the boundary, everything north of 180th is in Gilbert's urban growth, and everything south of 180th is Ames?
You know, when we had a meeting with the staff at Ames and Gilbert, they don't have anything apparently worked out as to whether that, you know, what that demarcation line is. I think there might be some working knowledge of what's acceptable, but I don't know if there's an actual...
And you've already learned those lines, the differences between city limits and school districts.
That's a totally different issue. That's a totally different issue. It's a totally different dynamic to it.
I get it, but there is
I'm just wondering what some things mean when you really come down to it. That's all. The words on the page.
We can help you with that.
Yeah, you're helping. Yes. So you're saying there really isn't an idea of where the urban growth boundary would be.
This is just our suggestion.
Is it fair to say that these are more statements of principles than they are actual detailed?
Right. If we were doing a plan, it would be the more general.
Because that's what this will result in, is perhaps some amendments to a plan, not amendments to a regulatory document.
That's what we're hoping.
At least as a first step. So when you say, like, on that the urban growth areas and the tie to annexation. All we're doing is saying that we generally support the principle that if it's a priority growth area for an urban place, then it should be annexed and developed as an urban.
Similar to the designation for urban residential.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
You can develop there, you're supposed to annex and you need for the city's standards, whether it's needs or plan to annex like they announced for the valley and Sea Valley and the Irons, right?
Commercial node there, please approach.
Right.
So help me wrap my head around this. These are considerations about possible future development that's come from your office, and this is what you believe is workable and very possible, and in moving forward, this is what we're going to try to do.
That would be interesting. And it came from our work program that was initiated by the Planning and Zoning Commission. I'm directing us to take a look at the land.
Is E the area just east of the East Peterson Park?
I'm sorry, I missed the first part. What you said?
I think you got it. E is the area just east of what's called the East Peterson Park, right?
Yeah.
It's a large field. That's right.
Well,
north of
Peterson Park is right there.
It's an existing development, so there's areas there that could be developed north of that existing skycrest.
And again, these are looser than specific boundary areas, right? I
mean, it just looked like areas that, you know, they might have stub roads that could be extended. There might be, it just, these were subdivisions that we reviewed that looked like, you know.
And then made standard criteria for determining what somewhere.
If this was ever proposed, they'd of course have to meet criteria at that time.
I have a question. Now, I may have missed something, but I see where your analysis took into consideration the transportation systems like SkyRide and the Ames 2040 plan. However, in your recommendations, I don't see too much as far as transportation. Can you tell me why?
You're not really proposing any major changes except for overlay improvements.
Well, with all the proposed developments, does that make, I mean, it seems like the planning is not taking place for the transportation system.
Well, I mean, again, as we get to that point, we'll, you know, potentially be dealing with new roads, but, you know, the 2040 plan didn't really identify any new, like, collector roads. The county does its own planning. We're not proposing any new north-south, east-west roads. So if they were, we would definitely.
To piggyback on that, can we add a recommendation then to this that as this is where all the requests for development are coming, that they start planning and addressing the collection roads and traffic issues that are already existing?
Yes. And we're working on that amendment right now, right. Which will should be before you in May.
Okay.
Traffic impact analysis.
You look at the Hyatt Grant, Hyatt Liberty Breton Road that was recently paved and that is heavily used and referred to by the Gilbert High School students as the Gilbert Raceway, right? But that doesn't get you through to Ames. It can if you literally wind your way through the residential area on Hyde to get to Bloomington, which is not a good idea for that volume of traffic. There's already lots of additional development over the last, you know, 10, 15 years out beyond on George Washington Carver that has not been addressed. There's no turnout lanes. There's nothing additional changes to that road. and Highway 69 is still a two-lane road north-south coming in and out of town. And so you're going to end up with George Washington Carver or Highway 69 as your collection roads into Ames. And if you're proposing 85,000, is that the number that I heard in that population?
Most of that population is going to be probably within the city of Ames.
Well, very little of that. That's my question, is how much of this north area does Ames consider to be within the future city of Ames, right, to include those additional 30,000 people or whatever.
That 2040 mobility plan primarily counted just the incorporated area as it is.
This is my point, and I think his point as well, is that once again we're looking at planning, zoning, growth, development, and there's no mention of the roads, which is kind of where we've gotten us here so far. So I'd like to add to your recommendations is to be thinking and planning to include transportation, not as an afterthought and not as we'll wait and see what happens and then address it 20 years, after the fact. Let's start looking at how do we address George Washington Carver traffic now? How do we address, Highway 69 traffic now?
And I appreciate this, that what we're going to look at next month, the traffic impact analysis study ordinance draft. I looked at it because I thought we were going to get to it tonight, so I read it before some other things, and then I realized how much it does fit into a land use policy plan. And whereas, but what it does is it looks at it development by development, or developer by developer. It doesn't look at the whole area. And I think that's what both John and Marvin are trying to say, and I just think, and I don't know how you do it, but if you're just looking at it development by development, you end up with patchwork kind of things. And that's where my concern is. I don't know the solution, but that's what I'm seeing happen in this area.
Like with these notes on the last page of the packet here, how do these fit together? That's kind of what I'm thinking. How do they all kind of fit together?
Well,
how do they connect?
I'm sorry, was that a question? Or
yeah, it's just kind of a rhetorical question, looking at these nodes as a system.
Primarily it's focusing on developing within existing established subdivisions that haven't been completed yet, so supporting that. And then supporting areas that are contiguous to these areas for future development. And most of it, if you look at it, is along the Skunk River, to the northeast. And to the Squaw Creek watershed area to the northwest. One of the comments that we received from the Ames staff is, if growth did occur, of the two areas, they seem to be to support maybe growth in the northeast area because they indicated that they could provide sanitary sewer northeast, east of Highway 69 better than they could to the northwest.
And the cities wanted Ames to go to the southwest for how long? Very long.
Yes.
Very long time. And that's not where the developers have chosen to go. When I look at this, and I did ask Jerry because I thought, I know this area pretty well, lived here all my life, but I look at these letters and say, what does this do? And when you look at NMKLI, Rivoli subdivision, that doesn't fit as well, but it kind of does. You're taking, you're getting a huge swath here between County Line Road and Carver. County Line being, 500, that's what they call it. You're getting a big swath there, potentially. That is, and it's right, it's segmented now.
It's already there.
It's right. It's already there, but it's pretty huge.
And that would all funnel into Ames via George Washington Carver?
And it would all funnel into Ames, probably a lot of it on Carver.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we've heard from the public at this commission who come in meeting after meeting talking about the traffic in these areas as well.
Are there more questions for the staff? So we don't have on typical public hearings, we have recommendations that are, you know, pretty, they're not the typical recommendations, so someone will have to formulate a recommendation. I think it's wise to shape our intent into that recommendation a little bit. So just as an example, I jotted some notes down here, something like support the memo prepared by staff as a starting point for joint review of the Ames Urban Fringe Plan North area. And then I added, in the comments, with additional emphasis on transportation improvements necessary to accommodate planning development comprehensively. I'm not suggesting we should use that. I'm just saying it's right. It's,
sounds good to me.
It's a paradigm.
For me, I should take that suggestion.
Someone has to put one together for us tonight.
Would you read it again, Aaron?
Sure. So the motion might be to support the memo prepared by staff as a starting point for joint review of the Ames Urban Fringe Plan North area, with additional emphasis on transportation improvements necessary to accommodate plan development comprehensively.
So I can do that. So I move that we approve, recommend to the Board of Supervisors and endorse this plan as presented by staff with the additions of an additional focus area on transportation planning as a point of discussion and just move that staff takes this forward to discussions with Ames and Gilbert for the Ames Urban Fringe Plan.
Second.
Is that you, Jerry?
Yes.
Is there discussion on the motion?
I just do want to say that I still am not comfortable with the ideas part because I don't know how large an area it is. I'm glad that you put in the traffic issue because I think it is huge for this area. I also think even with the wording you used, that there will be a perception that the commission approved all of these places because they're there and they're listed there. I think that perception is going to be there, and that does bother me. But that's my stance. I just wanted to say that for the record.
I think that having those listed, though, it does say, you know, rather than starting something new, let's add to something that is already existing and already built, right? So if I was looking at this map and saying, do I endorse all of these plans? You know, I don't want to see all of them, right? Maybe the way that they are or something. But before it would happen, we would see a specific plan, right? That we would have to review individually.
Designation change is going to be before the plan.
Exactly.
Can we call it a concept map? Can we call it a concept map? I mean, that would.
Yeah. And the intent, you know, you have these five recommendations, and if you support these recommendations, hey, these are some things that might be in line. Those are the ideas that are consideration. These are things that might be in line with those recommendations. I think that was the intent, to point out, hey, this is one of the five recommendations, and here's a subdivision where recommendation, you know, two might apply. It's in an urban expansion area. We put a dot on the map where that was the case.
We do stand behind these suggestions, though, or these opportunities. We think these are things that could potentially happen.
Sure.
But again, there's a lot of variables. You know, you have the willing landowners, and if there's changes that need to be made to the plan, it's got to be approved by all three of
So there will be.
We wouldn't be going through this alone.
So there will be public hearings
on a change to the Ames River Fringe plan, yes. Come here before they go to board supervisors, and each of the three entities.
So the entities would have public hearings before it was finalized.
Right. Mm-hmm. For specific changes.
This doesn't actually approve anything. We're just making a recommendation of, do we think this is the right way to approach amending the existing plan?
I understand it. I also.
Many hearings, probably. I would think. We have a motion and a second on the table. Any further discussion? We get a roll call vote, please.
Smith.
Yes.
Mins.
Yes.
McBride.
Yes.
Cable.
Yes.
Steele.
Yes.
Merkin.
No.
Sherwood.
Yes.
Motion carries. On to public hearings. Our first public hearing tonight is a conditional use permit.
02-18 B-17 Bomber Memorial. Jerry. Hey. Again, their request is a conditional use permit. B-17 Bomber Crash Site Memorial. The property location for this memorial is 67066 295th Street. Maxwell, it's actually northeast of Maxwell, just over 2 miles. Planning and development staff is recommending approval with conditions, and we'll go through them. Property owner is Coral Myers, 599 Main Street, Maxwell. Applicant is here, Mr. Steve Gast. He's representing the American Legion, post 249, 77 Main Street in Maxwell. Property is currently zoned A1 Agricultural District, and the C2C plan designation is agricultural conservation area. There are some natural areas on this property outside of where the building area is to the southwest and to the southeast on this 39-acre parcel. So this is where we're at. Property is outlined. Actually, it's the red dot on the south side of 295th Street. Again, a little over 2 miles northeast of Maxwell. It's also west of 680th Street. And east of 650th Street, which is right here. Again, we're looking at a 39-acre parcel. The northwest portion is where the agricultural buildings are, corn cribs, access to the site, gravel access and drive. There was a dwelling that was on the west side of the driveway that has since been removed. A little closer view, the memorial will actually be on the north side of the north tree. There's two huge, large trees on this property on the east side of the driveway. This is the dwelling that has been removed. So again, it's a memorial. It's a boulder, a rock that's approximately 5 feet wide by 6 feet in height. There's a bronze plaque that provides the description, the detail about the event that took place, and they have Steve talked about the details of that. He's got a PowerPoint presentation for you. They are proposing a couple of parking spaces. One of those will be handicap accessible. They're proposing to do like a mulch area around the boulder, and then there'll be a flagpole with an American flag that will be illuminated at night. That will be on the south side of the boulder. General public will have access to this property through a ingress-egress easement that the property owner is working on with their attorney. And that was maybe one of the conditions that be provided before the site is opened up for use. The county does have a requirement in the Story County Land Development Regulations for parking that it be at least 5 feet from property lines or right-of-way lines. Steve did make some adjustments to the initial concept site plan that was provided. We've got a copy of that to show you. And it will be handicap accessible. This is the first concept drawing that was submitted. Again, you've got the boulder, which shows up in red, flagpole to the south of that. Initially, he was showing a parking spot on the north side, which was parallel to the road and road right-of-way, and then one perpendicular to the road right-of-way. The second drawing shows both proposed parking spaces within the private property. Just a little bit of information about the traffic counts. 285th Street, actually reduced the numbers in traffic since 2007. 650th Avenue to the west, though, a little over 1,000 annual average daily counts. With this request, they don't know exactly how many people are going to come to the memorial on a weekly basis, monthly basis. They're proposing two parking spaces. Our ordinance only, it's written for maximum standards. We don't have a minimum standard, so they're trying, showing two spaces, and they're going to monitor the activity. So we're into the site photos. This is looking south. You can see the boulder. It's off the road. You see the access, gravel access and drive. A little closer view. And there's a plaque providing details. Steve's planning to go through that. This is actually looking to the east. The boulder is about, I think, 13 feet from what appears to be the north property line, which is approximately where that fence line is. They did work closely with the property owner on the siding of the boulder and the parking layout. This is actually panning to the northwest. It's about 37 feet from the south edge of the boulder to that furthest south tree. That's the driveway looking north, looking to the west, and then looking across the street. This property is surrounded by large agricultural parcels and row crop production. So conditional use permit, we look at various items, standards of approval, compatibility, with the site. We're looking at whether or not it would cause be unsightly, obnoxious, or offensive. This is a boulder. It's a natural feature. It's going to blend in to the site. It is visible from the road, but it does blend in. They are providing parking off-street. You look at transition, whether or not buffers are needed between this use and adjacent uses. Again, this is a rural area northeast of Maxwell, surrounded by large agricultural parcels. The closest dwelling is actually a quarter mile to the west. Traffic, again, limited traffic levels. I think the count was around 40-some vehicles currently on 295th. And again, the amount of traffic to this memorial, that they don't know what that is yet, but they'll be monitoring that. They are providing off-street parking, two sites, as stated. The trees do provide some buffering, and then also the area around the stone will be mulched. Signs and lighting, there is no lighting plan other than the flagpole will be illuminated, the American flag. Environmental protection, there's not, there shouldn't be any impact on the environment. County does have a 20% landscape requirement based on impervious surface. The area that they're proposing would cover that 20% requirement. We also are to look at these items. It says the commission concludes, if the commission concludes that all of the above development criteria will be met, it must recommend approval of the application unless it concludes that, if completed as proposed, there will be strong probability the development will not adequately safeguard the health, safety, and general welfare of persons. Again, we're not thinking that there's going to be a concern. They did work closely with the property owner on the location of the memorial and the parking. Light and air won't be impacted. Congestion of road hazards, that will not be an issue. Impact to adjacent properties, again, we're primarily dealing with agricultural row crops. And then compliance with the zoning requirements, which they will be with the second revised site plan and C2C plan, a couple of the principles,
Three is encourage high-value agricultural lands to remain as agricultural and discourage non-agricultural development. Again, we're proposing this in the area where the existing buildings and the house were located outside of the row crop area. And then principle four, design areas identified for development to limit conflicts between ag uses and rural residences and other types of land uses. That's the case here. We did do a review, provided comments. Steve responded. We did send public notices March 27 to all property owners within a quarter mile of the property. We did not receive any comments. And this brings us to the recommendation. Planning and development staff are recommending approval with the condition that we get a copy of the ingress-egress easement for the general public to use. And then, two, also that we be notified when the parking improvement is completed so that we can review that prior to opening it up officially. And so this brings you to alternatives, which is item two. We're recommending Surrey County Planning and Zoning Commission recommends approval of the conditional use permit as put forth in CUP 02-18 with conditions for the B-17 Bomber Crash Site Memorial and direct staff to place the case on the Board of Adjustment agenda.
So to have a memorial, I can't just go in any zoning district. It has to fit into the zoning.
Right, it's A1 district and can be permitted with a conditional use permit.
What exactly triggered, so it came to you, it looks like the memorial is already there. Was it the parking that triggered it? Or?
This goes back probably about a year ago. I think there was an interest initially in actually doing something like this within the actual road right away.
Mm-hmm.
And after working with engineering division, board supervisors, staff, we concluded that since the general public were going to be invited to come to this, that it should be that's more appropriate for it to be a conditional use permit and that it be on private property.
Is there any way for this, once we go through all this, will this be protected in any way? Or is it...
What do you mean by protected?
As a heritage-type site or as a historical feature, is there any protection of it in the future?
Yeah, that I don't know. That's probably a good question for Steve that he can address that.
Just curious, actually.
Other questions for staff? Okay, if you would like to address us, would you step up to the podium and give us your name and address for the record, please?
My name is Steve Gast. I'm the adjutant of Maxwell Legion Post 249 in Maxwell. Also here today are Pat Pekin, Cola Legion Post member, and County Veterans Affairs Commissioner, Brent McLean, County Veterans Affairs Director, Mary Ellen Reisdorf, who is the commander of the Maxwell VFW post, and Joellen Gast, who is the Maxwell Legion Auxiliary President and also the treasurer of the Maxwell Museum that has helped in this project. It was a dark and stormy night. This melodramatic quote was made infamous in the opening lines of an 1830 work entitled Paul Clifford. Its purple prose is often satirized, but on Monday, March 6th, 1944, at 6 a.m. in Maxwell, it was true. Next slide, please. A couple hours earlier on that same day, the weather was clear in Kearney, Nebraska, as B-17 started their journey to Maine and then on to England to support the D-Day invasion. For hours, bombers took off every 15 minutes until the whole squadron was airborne. Each plane had an assigned altitude to avoid mid-air mishaps. Upon reaching Atlantic, Iowa, the planes encountered a low-pressure winter storm of ice and snow. This generalizes the path that they were taking from Kearney, Nebraska to Maine and then on to England. Next slide, please. No one knows the whole story as to why B-1742-97-22-4 crashed. Its altimeter relied on air pressure to tell the crew how high they were above the ground. Perhaps this newly minted crew did not adjust the altimeter for the low pressure front that they passed through, and as a result, they flew lower than they should and thus stayed in the clouds too long. Whatever the cause, the B-17 did not have modern de-icing equipment, and the plane was soon coated in ice and could not maintain its altitude. This image shows a sketch of a typical B-17 flying fortress with the nose gunner, the top gunner, the belly gunner, the side gunners, the tail gunners. It takes a crew of 10. Next slide, please. A little before 6 a.m., the pilot was seeking a place to land because the flying fortress could no longer stay airborne. The Des Moines Airport was closed due to low visibility and snow cover. The plane kept circling ever lower in ever-lowering spirals. Residents in the Maxwell area could hear the heavy craft circling but could not see it due to the cloud cover and heavy snow. They knew it was in trouble, and many farmers flashed their yard lights to signal the plane. The end came at about 6 a.m. for the B-47 as it flew in a west by southwest direction with its engines laboring at maximum and its tail down while it fought to climb. The bomber tore off the top of a windmill. Its tail was ripped away as it was dragged through a fence line. All 10 crew members died in the fiery crash. This shows the location of the crash site, the location of the monument. Here's 295th Street from Highway 65 back over to Iowa Center. Northeast of Maxwell and northwest of Collins. Next slide, please. There are still people in Maxwell who have firsthand memory of this event. Some saw it through the eyes of childhood. Others experienced it as adults. There are surviving relatives, now in their 90s, of the 10 servicemen. There are also surviving individuals who were part of the squadron that safely arrived in Maine. This map shows the farmland at the closest access point, 1/4 of a mile north of the crash site at 670-66 on 295th Street, and the monument is located right off the drive in that location. Next slide, please. The Maxwell American Legion Post 249 and VFW Post 8174 have jointly placed a rock and a plaque near the road closest to the crash site to commemorate the servicemen who lost their lives 74 years ago. The names of the crew members and the description of the flight are on the plaque. And this image shows the plaque and the rock and lists the name of the 10 crew members. Next slide, please. We're asking the county to recognize this site for its historical significance by allowing the property owners and the two Maxwell posts to improve two parking places for the use of the public in visiting the monument, and possibly in the future place a lighted flagpole at the site. The yellow was green on mine. The yellow shows the parking places. There would be two of them, and a slight turning area so that you can drive in and drive out. The layout allows a vehicle to pull in, and if it's handicapped with a side door, they can get out and get around, or they can pull in, and if it has a back handicap access, they can get out and get around. Our guess is maybe one vehicle a year will visit, unless you all visit at the same time, and then there will be seven.
Did you go out there, Linda? Did you go out there?
No. Oh. But Kathy knows the area.
Yeah, I live 2 miles from this place. It's been the talk of our family.
You're too young to have remembered it, though.
I might tell you, Pat Pekin will know, there's plenty of us out there that lived out there our whole life. My grandfather, my father, Ray Granger, they've been the talk of the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. It's a great honor.
Posts agree with the staff conditions. Are there any questions?
How is this site going to be protected as a historical monument in the future and future generations?
Both the Legion and the VFW have guns. Both posts will be doing maintenance on it, making sure that the mulch is in good condition in the parking place.
Maintenance and just property.
We approached this from the perspective that we would eventually like to have a sign from the DOT on Highway 65 that says B-17 Memorial that way. We will approach the county engineer to do the same thing over in Iowa Center, and with some advertisement, hopefully it will be kept as a historical site in the future. And if not, it's a rock and it has a plaque on it, and 50 years from now, the only ones around are going to be third and fourth generation of the people who sacrificed their lives, and who knows, it may never be visited. But it is important to us today.
Yes, absolutely.
So realistically, on private property, you can't ensure that it's going to be, somebody else buys the property, but you're saying you can't.
We have an easement from the property owner that will be recorded. The only reason we don't have it in place today is with the moving around of the parking places. We wanted to know what we were encumbering for the owner before we wrote an easement of encumbrance. So if it's approved, then we will use the description in order to generate an easement and have that recorded before the opening ceremony on Monday, Memorial Day, at 2 o'clock in the afternoon this year. God willing. Well, Board of Adjustment willing.
I think that answers John's question.
Yeah, it does.
The easement is what the provides.
Yeah.
Oh, the guns didn't answer. No?
Yeah. Well, I like that one too. I was looking for like a check, just so when things come up in the future, we kind of understand how these things work.
Put a fake camera up in one of the trees. Seriously. But you might want to consider that if you have a problem with vandals, which I hope doesn't happen.
Well, there's a plaque on the Iowa State campus, and it was to commemorate the landscape on campus. It was on a rock, and someone took the plaque.
Yeah.
We have such a lower population out here.
That's true.
We will see if it's a problem.
All right, thank you. We may have some more questions for you in a bit. Thanks.
Thank you.
Does anyone in the audience like to speak on this topic tonight? If so, would you step up to the podium and give us your name and address for the record? Doesn't look like it. So we will close the public hearing and open it up for discussion from the Planning Commission or a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I would make a motion to approve conditional use permit 02-18B-17 with staff recommendation number 2.
Thank you, Gary. Is there a second?
I'll second
it. A motion by Cable and a second by Menz. Is there discussion on the motion?
I'm just glad there's still things like this being done.
Nice change from our usual conversation.
There is.
All right, can we get a roll call vote, please?
Menz.
Yes.
Steele.
Yes.
McBride.
Yes.
Sherwood.
Yes.
Smith.
Yes.
Cable.
Yes.
Murphy.
Yes.
All right. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for coming in, everybody. Appreciate it. On to CUP